Hallelujah. I love how the song says, I choose to be holy, set aside for you, Lord. Well, that's what it means to be holy. It means to be set aside for him. Right? You can't be set aside for him and not be holy. Amen. Aren't you glad that he made a way for us to, as we talked about this morning, how he took away what once alienated you from him. Amen. Made it possible for us to walk with him. I think that ought to amaze us every single day. That he's allowing us to walk with him. My. And nothing, and it was not our doing. Nothing that we did, caused him to make this way for us. He made the way. Amen. Amen, amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Are you happy?
Yes.
Amen. Well, we're thrilled to have our brother Andrew Glover with us once again this evening. Good, really good friend of ours and a wonderful, gifted minister of the gospel. And we're just so thankful for his ministry and for his giving heart, his willingness to come out here. He's just coming out of some meetings and barely catches his breath, and then he's going to minister for us. So we're excited about that and thankful for it. And also that his wife, Sister Mariah, is here with us this time, and baby Malachi. So we're just blessed in so many ways, and we're glad that you're here. Right? Because if you, as they say at Trail Dust Town, if you weren't here, then none of this would be necessary. Hallelujah. So I don't want to keep you. We just want to invite our brother to come and take his liberty, and trust that you've come with your cup and your saucer, and you're prepared to feast, and you're prepared to drink. To partake of the Lord's goodness. Amen. 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 You say, but we just ate this morning. Well, probably you just ate this morning in the natural too, right? But now it's time to eat again.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed.
Amen.
And he invites his chosen people to come and
Amen.
Dine. This is more than life to us. This is more to us than our daily bread. Amen. This is the highlight of our week. It's what we look forward to. And God never disappoints.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Let's sing as our brother comes this evening. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you right now. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Amen. Sing it to him. I need you, Lord. Yes, I need you, Lord, right now.
Amen.
And so I lift my hands and I bow my knees and worship. Thank you.
know tonight that if we need him, he's available. Amen. He tells us he's an ever-present help. Amen. In the time of trouble. And amen. To know tonight that we're not here by ourselves, but amen. There's an angelic host among us tonight. And amen. The presence of God is with us. And amen. Then if he is here, amen, all things are possible to them that believe. Amen. How many believers have we got here this evening? Amen. Then we know God is here tonight. And amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of God on a Sunday night? And amen. I tell you, amen, our hearts are just so encouraged, amen, to, amen, see a crowd of believers out like this on a Sunday night, amen. You, I was thinking today, some Sunday nights are almost becoming a thing of the past among some, and amen. I know every assembly's sovereign in themselves, but I'm just one of them guys that likes them Sunday nights, amen. And, amen. The power of God moving and the Holy Ghost falling. And, amen. I tell you, it's a real honor to be with you all once again. And good to see everyone out here tonight. Be with Brother Doug and the church here once again. We sure love and appreciate you all. And, amen, just here a few days ago with you in your meetings. And, amen, we got to look at some of those. And I know the Lord blessed you all mightily in those meetings. And the men of God just laboring in the Word of God. And, amen, I know there was testimonies that only eternity will tell, amen, of what God done. And so we thank the Lord for that. And sure glad to have my wife here with me. And Malachi, last time we were here, he was, amen, he was 7 months old. Amen. And so, amen, we're glad to have him and our wife here with us tonight. And amen, we want tonight, if we could, just to bow our hearts for a word of prayer. Amen. I know the Lord is here among us tonight. And amen, as maybe they just play that softly, I need you, Lord. Amen. Maybe you just say, Lord, come by my way and speak to my heart tonight. Amen. I know he's mindful. Heavenly Father, Lord, as these believers have gathered here this afternoon, Lord, knowing that, Lord, this is not just another service or another gathering, Father. Lord, we're not just approaching this as just another, Lord, time to come together. But, Lord, we've gathered here tonight under purpose, Lord. Father, for wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. And, Lord, as your prophet said, that there's many meaningless gatherings of people. But Lord, we're so thankful tonight that this is not a meaningless gathering. But Lord, there is a purpose behind this gathering. Lord, it's not just to see each other or Lord, just to have a good time or just to hear a different minister or to sing a song. But Lord, we're gathering for an exodus, Lord. Father, you've gathered us unto yourself to reveal your word to us that, Lord, our lives would be changed, oh God. Things that's unlike you would fall off of our lives and Lord, we would be transformed into the image that you had of us from before the foundation of the world. And tonight, oh God, as we endeavor to open your word and Lord, to look into a few things that you've drawn our attention to, I pray, Lord, you send the spirit of wisdom and revelation into the building, oh God. Lord, may you move me aside and speak through me, oh God. But Lord, may you not just speak through me, but Lord, may you hear through the believers, oh God. And Lord, that our lives would be transformed by your word. Father, I have nothing as a human or a mortal man to offer this people. But Lord, I know if you come, then lives will be changed. Father, sicknesses will be healed. Diseases will be delivered of, oh God. Lord, empty vessels will be filled, Lord. We're reporting to duty tonight for your service, oh God. Lord, send the anointing that destroys the yoke of the enemy. Father, may it come among us in a special way tonight, oh God. And Lord, we surrender this service into thy faithful hands. Have your way among us, oh God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And all the believers says, amen. Amen. And amen. God richly bless you tonight. If you have your Bibles while you're standing with us, we want to go into the scriptures. We want to go to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, the second chapter. Amen. I was sitting there in the back room and hearing Brother Doug speaking a little bit. And he got on that walk. And amen, I got a little nervous. I thought, man, he's just going to preach my whole sermon right there before he calls me out. Amen. Amen. But it's sure good to know the Lord has us in the same channel. Amen. Just the Lord put this on our heart tonight. So pray it'll be a blessing to you in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 6. Amen. Amen. Just to look here at the word of the Lord. Colossians 2 and verse 6. Paul here says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I love that. Rooted and built it up in him and established in the faith. Now, I love what Paul says here. He's speaking of instruction. as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, we want to look there in the ninth verse of 1 Peter chapter 2. And while you're turning there, I don't want to forget to bring you greetings from our church there at home. Our pastor, Brother Matt Morris, and the saints at Grace Tabernacle send their greetings to you tonight. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. Peter here writing, he says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Amen. And one other place I want to look is 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 5. John here writing, this is probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, "This then is the message," because we believe the message, right? "This then is the message which ye have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin." Amen. We ask the Lord this evening to add the blessing to the reading of his word, as you can be seated here. From those verses tonight, if I would take a title tonight, I want to talk to you on this. Amen. The peculiarity of light the believer walks in. The peculiarity of light the believer walks in. And, you know, I just was listening to a tape, and Brother Brand would say this in Convinced and Concerned 1962. He said, "Now, just because we wear the name Pentecost," he said, "that don't mean anything." He said, "You've got to be born again, and when you're born again, you walk in Bible light." Amen. You've got to be born again, and when you're born again, you walk in Bible light. You do what the Bible says. So here the prophet of God is showing us that we're not just being born, amen, but actually we're going to come into instruction, or we're going to come into adoption, amen, where we're able to take more than just the milk of the word, amen, but we're able to take the meat of the word. And Brother Branham would say this in Elijah 1955. He said, "Our walk and our associations with people," he said, "that people would recognize," amen, "that we were children of the King." Amen. So our walk and our associations ought to identify, amen, that we are children of the King. Another place in A Hidden Life, he said, "Our walk ought to be plain to the public." Amen. "Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord." So, amen, without them hearing a doctrine, or hearing us sing a song, or hearing us preach a sermon, or hearing us give a testimony, but just by watching our walk, amen, ought to be able to identify, amen, who we are and whose we are. Brother Branham would say our walk ought to be plain holy to the public. Now, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, if I could read that from the Amplified Bible, it says, "But if we really walk in the light," that is, live each and every day in the conformity with the precepts of God, "as he himself is in the light, then we have true unbroken fellowship with one another, amen, he with us and we with him. And the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us," amen, "from all sin by erasing the stain of sin and keeping us clean from sin in all its forms and its manifestation." So, amen, we're not just walking as church members. We're not just walking, amen, as message believers, but rather we're walking, amen, as the children of the King. And we're not walking under the stain or under the blemish of sin, but rather we're walking under the authority, amen, of the blood of Jesus Christ, which is not a Jewish blood or a Gentile blood, amen, but it is perfect blood. It is God's blood, and it is the only blood that has the ability, amen, to erase the stain, to remove the stain, but it also has the power to remove the desire, amen, to do the thing again, right? Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ is a powerful blood. Now, Brother Bram would preach a sermon in 1956, "Why are people so tossed about?" And it it astounds me that he would preach this as a New Year's Day sermon. He said, I think that I would want to quote it being this New Year's. Not that it's New Year's, amen, but it's the new turn of time. So it's not just a new year, but it's actually a new turn of time. He says, I believe that we are living in a very wonderful, glorious day of opportunity when the people of this day are living to see, amen, the shadows of the coming of the Son of God. He said, I believe with all my heart that the world is going to burst now into the greatest revival that was ever known, or it's going into the darkest chaos that has ever been known in history. It's a great time of people to make a decision on what they're going to do. And if there happens to be someone here today that hasn't made the decision right for Christ, he said, I trust it'll be this morning somewhere in the service that you'll in your heart say, yes, Lord, this is the day when I make my decision to serve you, amen, the rest of my life. Amen. It's a wonderful day, and I'm sure that over our eyes has just been a veil, even believers, he said, amen, till we can't just see what's going on around us. Amen. You see, and many times spiritual-led people are misunderstood, amen, to the peoples of the world, because it's such a strange and an odd life, amen, to live a full surrendered life to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, you all that study the message know, amen, that 1956 was a turning point, amen, in the ministry of our prophet. He said, this will either be the year that America will accept the gospel or they will reject the gospel. And when he stands there delivering, amen, the first sermon of 1956, he said, the world is either going into revival, amen, or it's going into chaos. Now, we are so many years removed, and we can see, amen, that the world made their decision and they went into chaos. Amen. But a prophet made a distinction, amen, between the world and a believer. He said, the whole world can go into chaos, but there can be a believer sitting here that can make a decision to serve God, amen, for the rest of their life. Listen, we may be in the world, but we're not of the world. Amen. There has been an eagle scream. There has been a call to come out of the confusion of the world that we're living in. Listen, hey, I may be in America. I may be in Laodicea, but I am not a wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked individual. I am a son of God. You are a daughter of God. We are children of God. Listen, we're not on our way to destruction. We're not on our way to chaos, but we are walking in the light as he is in the light. And we're not having fellowship with the bishop. We're not having fellowship with the pope. We're having fellowship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And our sins are being forgiven. Our iniquities are being remembered no more, because we have come in, amen, to revival in the middle of chaos. Yes, sir. Amen. It's a strange and odd life, amen, to live a full surrendered life, amen, to the Lord Jesus. Let me just get it out there and say this, amen, as believers, we are oddballs. Amen. As believers, we are oddballs. You know what Paul said? He said, if any man among you seemeth to be wise in the world, amen, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written that he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Again, Paul said, I am become a fool in glory. He hath compelled me, for aught I have to be commended of you, amen, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Brother Bram comes along and says, now that's a very strange thing, amen, for an apostle to say, I have become a fool. He said, now a fool is a person that really isn't in their right mind. He said, how would this apostle say such a thing, amen, as I have become a fool? He said, see, you've got to be somebody's fool, so I would rather be a fool for Christ, amen, see, because God said his people, amen, were a peculiar people. They were odd. They were chosen, elected, a royal priesthood, and they were offering spiritual sacrifices to God, that is the fruit of our lips, amen, giving praise unto his name. Now, when Brother Branham preaches this, why are people so tossed about? He says in paragraph 24, he said, I want you to notice another thing about this, amen, is the peculiar of light, amen, that the believer walks in, amen, when he's in Christ. He says the peculiarity of it, amen. So not only only is a believer peculiar, not only is a believer an oddball, amen, but the food that they eat is peculiar. Amen, the clothes that they wear is peculiar. Amen, the books they read is peculiar. Amen, but also the light that they walk in is peculiar. I'll say this, we have come out, amen, of different walks of life. Amen, Brother Brim said, oh Father, you've taken the alcoholics and you've taken the prostitutes, you've taken the dope fiends, and you brought them out of every walk of life and made ladies and gentlemen out of them. Another place he said the Exodus, it means the called out, amen, which means the church. He said, and now God is calling his people out of every walk of life, amen, to come and receive him, amen, and to believe on him. Listen folks, there is a vast difference, amen, in a believer's walk and a modern Christian's walk. As a matter of fact, the prophet of God said a modern Christian's walk, amen, is dreadful, amen, in the sight of God. Listen, when you look there, amen, at that word peculiarity, amen, it means an odd or an unusual feature or habit. Now, when you're peculiar, you have an odd or an unusual feature or habit. It is a characteristic or a quality, amen, that is distinctive of a particular person or place. It is the quality, amen, or state of being peculiar. Amen, when you're peculiar, amen, you got some habits that the other world don't have. Listen, do you realize a believer has habits that a modern Christian don't have? You say, what is that? Well, first of all, they believe in going to church more than just on Easter or Christmas. Amen. Because they're not just modern Christians. Amen. They are believers who are walking in the light of the Word of God, and the blood of Jesus Christ is keeping them clean. Amen. Before God. I love when the prophet said the believer walks. Amen. Amen. If we're going to walk, amen, we've got to have light, right? Amen. But before you can walk in the light, amen, you got to step in the light. And the prophet of God said the light of the angel of God, amen, standing there on the mountain that day, everything that Moses once had or thought would never happen, amen, in that light it come to be a reality. He said, I think if men and women today, amen, would ever step into the light of the Holy Spirit under the unction of God's Spirit and the light of God's Word, everything that God has promised, amen, will illuminate to you and will be real again. He said, see, that's what's the matter, amen, when we step into the light of God's Word with the unction of the Holy Spirit to shine that light on it, brother, the impossible becomes little things then. See, when the Word's being preached and the Holy Spirit brings the Word, amen, he energizes that, amen, and flashes the same light, amen, of God's blessed promise. See, then when God's Word, his promise, becomes enlightened, amen, by the presence of the angel of the Lord, he said, stop Moses now, he's on his road. Amen, when the angel of the Lord revealed to Moses, amen, the time and the season and the will of God to manifest the commission of God, amen, he didn't get it from a school, folks. He didn't get it from a seminary. Amen, he got it from the pillar of fire. And the pillar of fire that met Moses has returned to this age, amen, to meet the bride of Jesus Christ. Listen, he didn't call us to sit down. He didn't call us to step aside. He called us to walk, amen, as believers and sons and daughters of God. Amen. All the walk. Listen, once you've ever stepped in the light, amen, I'll say what a prophet said. He said, when you see the light, walk in it. He screams out, walk. Amen. You don't know where you're going, but keep walking. You're walking towards Calvary. Amen. Keeping a sensible look at Calvary. He screams, walking. Walking. I love what he says. He said, let's get on our walking shoes. Well, we might as well preach we're here. Hey, let's get on our walking shoes. I may say, why do you wear walking shoes? Because you're fixing to do some walking. Amen. How many knows if you're going to go hiking, you know, amen, Brother Doug can testify to this. If you're going to go hiking in Sabina Canyon, you don't show up in flip-flops. Amen. You got to wear shoes, amen, that are fitting for the task that is at hand. Somebody say, what kind of shoes, amen, do you wear to church? Well, I got on dress shoes, amen, but they're more than just dress shoes. Amen, I call them my walking shoes. You say, why do you call them walking shoes? Amen, because when I hear the word, amen, the word of God is a pardon, amen, to release me from the conditions and from the situations that I'm in. And when I hear the word, I'm going to put on my walking shoes, and I'm going to walk right out of depression. I'm going to walk right out of nervousness. I'm going to
walk right out of unbelief. I'm going to walk out of sin. Listen, I think it's time to put our walking shoes on. I think it's time to put our shouting shoes on. I think it's time to change, amen, our shoes from sad shoes, amen, to traveling shoes. Amen, let's get on our traveling shoes, folks. We got some land to walk around on. We got some mountains to climb. We got some land to possess. It's time to start walking. We have sat on the premises long enough. We have argued doctrine and tried to figure it out. It's time to start walking as the sons and daughters of God. Yes, sir. A prophet told you, get on your walking shoes. Well, somebody say, I got them on. Somebody sitting next to you didn't say it. Tell them, get them on. Time to get our walking shoes on, folks. We're going to walk out of here. Hey, I felt that one. We're going to walk out of here. Amen. One of these mornings between 6 and 9, we're going to walk out of here. Listen, hey, this ain't a strange thing. Some of you have been walking with God for 50 years. Some of you 5 years. Let me say this. One of these days, you're going to take your final step. One of these days, it's going to be your final step. God has called us out of the different walks of life into the believer's walk. Brother Rem said, if we only walk by faith, amen, then we would be the children of darkness, sure enough. He said, but I'm so glad to know that there is a light that shines in every believer's heart until that eternal day when Jesus shall come. Listen, the children of darkness, amen, they walk by sight, amen, but the children of faith or the children of light, amen, they walk by faith. In other words, we don't wait, amen, to see something before we take a step, but we take a step by faith. Come on, y'all remember the prophet of God talked about that old colored man. He sat down there preaching, and he said, I believe the Holy Bible, amen, from kiver to kiver. He said, and I believe even the kiver. He said, if he told me to walk through that wall, he said, I would walk over there. They said, well, there ain't no door. He said, well, I'd walk anyhow, because when I get there, there would be a door there to walk through. Come on, folks. Sometimes you got to quit sitting on the premises and start walking on the promises of God. Sometimes you got to take a step of faith when your senses won't let you, when your feelings won't let you, when ideas won't let you, when theology won't let you. You got to step out as a freeborn son of the living God and say, I refuse to sit here in a defeated condition any longer. I know who I am. I know where I come from. My name is on the Lamb's Book of Life, and there ain't no devil got any right to put a trespassing sign up on the promises of God. I have been ordained for a time. I've been ordained for a time such as this. Amen. I'll say this. The walk of a believer is a very important walk. Brother Bram said the walk of a believer. Now, when you look in the Bible, amen, Romans 6:14, you will see, amen, powerful characteristics of a believer's walk. In Romans 6:4, Paul says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Now listen, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So a characteristic of the believer's walk is they're going to walk in the newness of life. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, Paul again, he says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. So another characteristic of the believer's walk is that it is a walk of faith. Galatians 5:16, he said this, I say then, walk in the Spirit. I love that, Brother Joe, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill, amen, the lust of the flesh. Amen. There we see that it is a walk of spirituality. In Ephesians 4:1, he says, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you, amen, that ye should walk worthy, amen, of the vocation wherewith ye are called. In Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Now watch this, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Amen. So you're not just walking, amen, and just walking and walking and walking, but as you're walking, you are building up resistance to the devil. As you are walking, you are increasing in the knowledge of God. Reverend said, now I do now. He said, now do I now walk worthy? He said, well, I don't walk worthy. No. Amen. But Christ in me. I don't walk worthy, hey, but Christ in me makes me walk worthy. He said, then to thy children who is born again and they are filled with the Holy Spirit, he said, God meek in their hearts, let them walk worthy of this great calling that we've been called. Now listen how you're to walk, going about living for you, Lord, and teaching others and praying for them and ministering to the sick and the wayward and the down and out. Amen. I want to establish something, and I don't want you to ever forget this, okay? Amen. There is a birth and there is an adoption. I know people try to make it the same, but a prophet made it very plain. He said, your adoption is not your birth. He said, your adoption is your placing. He said, when you were born of the Spirit of God, we were the sons of God, but we were predestinated unto something. So we were not just born. Come on, folks. You didn't just have a baby and leave it laying in the hospital and say, there's a baby. We've had a baby. But you brought that baby home and you begin to teach that baby. You begin to train that baby. Amen. Because there was a vision over that life that had just come into the earth. Oh, church of the living God. This is more than just a Pentecostal birthing message. This is an adoption headship where God seen more over your life than just being church members, just being singers or musicians or preachers. But he saw you as a powerful force. He saw you as an invincible army, and he revealed the secret things that were hidden in the Word of God to bring you into manifestation as the sons of God. We were predestinated unto adoption. Can I say this? We have an inheritance. Paul said, we are predestinated unto adoption. Brother Bram said, how was our inheritance given to us? Through what? Predestination. He said, predestination is foreknowledge. Now, how did God know he could trust you? Oh, come on, folks. You ever been there and you say, God, why did you call me? How can you trust me? Well, can I say this? Amen. He's not trusting you. Come on, church. Amen. Brother Doug, you ever just sit down and say, Lord, amen, when you called me and you chose me, how could you trust me to be a pastor of the church of God? I wonder sometimes, how could he trust me, amen, to be a preacher to his bride? You ever wonder how he could trust you? Well, can I let you in on a little secret? The prophet of God said, he's not trusting you. He's trusting his foreknowledge. Hey, he's not trusting our abilities. He is trusting his foreknowledge. Not by he that willeth or he that runneth, but it's God that showeth mercy. He predestinated. He knew what was in you. And he knew what was in you before you even come on the earth. He knew what was in you before there was ever an earth for you to come on. Amen. That's the infinite God. Amen. So Paul here says, amen, that we are predestinated unto adoption. In Ephesians 5:2, he says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God. Amen. For a sweet smelling savor. Amen. In Ephesians 5:15, he says, walk ye circumspectly. Amen. Not as fools. Amen. But as wise. In 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk. Amen. Even as he walked. Amen. So the believer's walk, amen, is to walk just like Christ walked when he was here on the earth. Amen. I'll say this in 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, somebody say walk. As he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, amen, cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. I want you to look here at this word walk. It means to make one's way. I love this. It means to progress. It means to make due use of opportunities. It means to regulate one's life. Amen. And to conduct oneself. Brother Bram said, we grow, we mature, we find better things, we talk of better things, we wear better clothes, drive a better car. He said, we are progressing. Now, how many agrees that we are progressing? He said, but God cannot progress in that way because he was perfect to begin with. And perfection cannot progress anymore. It's already perfection. Hallelujah. Amen. Perfection can't get no better, folks. It's already perfection. So we don't have to say, well, this is a different age. We've got a better thought now. If it is, he can't be God. So if he is God, what he spoke back there, he has to stay with it because he was perfect there and is perfect now. Listen, if God spoke your name in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world, listen, he's not going to change when he sees your mistakes. He's not going to change when he sees our human failures, because he is not a finite God, folks. He's an infinite God, which means he's a perfect God, which means we're not digressing. We are progressing. We are going unto perfection. I love what the Bible says. Amen. Let us go unto. Let us go unto perfection. Amen. Can I say this? Y'all ever heard that saying? Amen. The mountains are calling and I must go. Well, I was raised in the sticks of East Tennessee. So, and then any country boy in the backwoods of East Tennessee, anytime you heard Gatlinburg or Pigeon Forge, bless God, pack the car up and let's go. The mountains are calling, folks. And then the fields and the hills can stay to themselves, but the mountains are calling. Listen, there was a call and I must go. Can I say something to you? Perfection is calling. Perfection is calling, folks, and I gotta go to it. Hallelujah. Perfection is calling and I gotta go to it. I can't stay in Laodicea. I can't stay in my mistakes. I can't stay in my humanity. Perfection is called and I must respond. I must go unto the call of perfection that is upon my life. Brother Bram said, what is it? He said, it's a perfect place calling you, and it's calling you to that perfection, and you have to be perfect to get there. It's a perfect kingdom, so it must be a perfect people come, because you have to stand and be married to a perfect Son of God, and you must be a perfect bride. I love what Paul says. He says, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. He said, now, Branham Tabernacle, we have healings, that's wonderful. We have visions, that's fine. You have spiritual dreams, sometimes they're not spiritual. He said, we try to help the poor, we do what we can. Oh, that's all right, but that's not what we're talking about now. We are entering into another phase. And he says, leaving the doctrine. Oh yes, we got the doctrine, amen, of Christ. We believe he was the Son of God, is virgin born. We believe that with all these things. That's just wonderful. But leaving that, he said, let's go on unto perfection. Listen, a prophet makes a prophetic observation and says there's many Christians in life that are up and down. He said, I've always wondered about that. He said, they're very religious, but they can't seem, amen, to keep the victory. He said, now the reason is there's two phases of the same Christianity. He said, there's the intellectual mental conception. He said, but then there is an experimental experience that God has given the man in his heart. He said, now listen, our schools of theology does not have the answer. Amen. So the schools of theology, amen, does not have the answer to bring a stability into the life of a born again Christian. But what does have the answer is the Word of God. And this is the hour that the Word has come open. Listen, folks, we now have the answer. We now have the answer to the devil's question. Brother Bram said like this. He said, look at the three courts. Israel. He said there was the outer court. Now how many knows that in that outer court, amen, that light that was in that outer court, amen, it was controlled, amen, by the weather, right? Amen. If the sun was shining, there was no clouds in the sky. Hey, everybody was happy, and amen, everybody was going to church, and amen, it was a good Sunday morning. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. Now let's just be human for a second. Amen. Because there's times you wake up on Sunday morning, amen, and the sun is shining and the birds are singing and the breeze is blowing and it's just a beautiful day to go to church. Man, you're up listening to a tape and you're making breakfast and amen, you're just fellowshipping and you're having coffee with Gabriel and you're fellowshipping with Wormwood. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. But wake up on a Sunday morning and let the clouds be low. I know it may be strange, but let the rain be falling. Amen. Let the wind be blowing. Let it be real dark and gloomy. And you get up and you kind of mope around and well, I think I'm going to go to church and I might get something from the service and the kids are screaming and there ain't no eggs and bacon. There's some blessed old cereal and y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. We're humans. You know what's happening? Amen. Is the weather is controlling our mood. But then there was another court. There was the inner court, which was called the inner court, which in there, it was not controlled by the sunlight, but rather there was a candlestick there. There was a candlestick there, and what had to happen was the priest had to come in and light that candle. Amen. And if the priest didn't show up, or if the oil went down, the light went out, and that's the kind of light they live by. You say, well, how does that apply to me? Because if the pastor's in town, or your favorite preacher's in town, well, glory to God, somebody shout hallelujah. Well, we're going to have a good service because brother so-and-so's here. And if our favorite preacher ain't here, then we're just going to get by till our pastor gets back or our favorite preacher comes to town again. Listen, you're still living by the wrong light. There was the outer court, the inner court. Hey, but then there was a place called the Holies of Holies. Brother Bram said, and in there, amen, it was not the sunlight. It was not the candlelight. It was the Shekinah glory. He said it never got dim and it never went out. Well, somebody ought to shout aloud in the house of God. There is a place that a believer can go in God where the weather don't affect our services, where the preacher don't affect our services, because we're not living by the candlelight. We're not living by the sunlight. We are living by the Shekinah glory. There is a people who has gone behind the veil. They're in the presence of the Shekinah glory. They're eating the shoe bread and it's putting a stability in them. So no matter what's going on around them, they're there because they know who they are. Hallelujah. He said, what kind of light is that? He said, it's kind of a mystic light. He said, now you live only in the Shekinah glory. I love that. Amen. What's happening is a believer is walking before the Lord and they are walking in truth. I love what John says. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Brother M said, a man that comes to truth and fails to walk in the truth, then he has, according to scripture, he has blasphemed or rejected the Holy Spirit of God and is past the day of redemption. Another place, he said, I can bring the truth. But if you reject it and walk away, I know the Bible says if you do that, then there's no more remission of sin till you come back and make that right. Now I want to say this, we're not walking in error, folks. We're not walking in reformers' understandings. We're not walking where there's a little bit of light and there's a little bit of darkness and there's a little bit of confusion. But God, who is rich in mercy, has allowed the day star to arise and shine in the hearts of the sons and daughters of God. Listen, folks, we've got light to walk in. I say this, if a church is walking in confusion on water baptism, I say shame on whoever's promoting confusion. If a message church is walking in confusion on the seventh seal or predestination or the coming of the Lord or the original sin in the garden or the seven seals or whatever it may be, I say shame on them, because light has come, folks. Amen. Darkness has removed and light has come. It's time to walk in it. It's time to walk in it. You say, what do you mean? Well, in 1965, in God's chosen place of worship, he says, now tomorrow morning, if it be the will of God, I aim to speak on that subject of marriage and divorce. I'm not going there, so relax. He said, but I'm going to try tomorrow morning, if the Lord willing, to speak on the subject of the two schools of thought. He said, now, he says this, and may God help us to know what is truth. Just to know what's the truth. Now, Brother Branham, why do we just want to know what the truth is? So we can argue about it. And we can make this click. And we can make this clan. And we can make this group. He said, we just want to know what truth is so we can walk. Right. Hallelujah. We just want to know what the truth is so we can walk in truth and in light. Let me say this. Anytime God breaks a revelation, there's always two schools of thought on it. But let me show you something. A prophet stands between the two and brings the answer. I remember, I'll just share this with you. It just come to me. I remember years ago, I was fellowshipping with a brother, and his dad was in Brother Bram's sermon on who is this Melchizedek. He said, now my dad was a Pentecostal preacher. He said, well, I was a little kid. And he said, I remember all the preachers. He said, they were sitting there, and I'll just be honest with you. It's Sunday night, so I'll just relax if that's okay. He said like this, and how many studied who is this Melchizedek? You heard that tape. How many remembers Brother Bram standing in there, and he says, now I'm going to turn the pulpit. Remember that? He said, I'm going to turn the pulpit where I can face both sides. Now that always stood out to me, Brother Doug, but I never understood why. Well, this brother's telling me, he said, Brother Andrew, is actually Brother Mike Seaver. He said, Brother Andrew, my dad was there. And he said, I remember as a little kid, he said, we were all in a room. And he said, all the preachers were arguing. I said, ain't much change. He said, all the preachers were arguing. And he said, one said, now he's going to say that Melchizedek is a priest. He said, then another group said he's going to say Melchizedek. Melchizedek is Jesus Christ. He said, so they went in there and he said, believe it or not, he said, one group said on one side. He said, and the other group said on the other side. And he said, Brother Branham, come out there. And he said, now I'm going to turn the pulpit. A prophet never makes it wrong. I'm going to turn the pulpit. And he said, I'm going to speak to both sides. And he said, I watched him. He stood there and he began to preach. And he said, now listen, he said, Melchizedek could have been a priest. A priest. He said, that one side screamed out, that's right. Amen. He said the other side got quiet. He said then another one said, well, it could be this. And he said they screamed out. And he said, see, y'all are wrong. We're right. He said, but then a prophet said, but here's the point. Melchizedek became Jesus Christ. He said what he done was he stood between the two schools of thought and he brought a truth to the error. And he said those who believed and walked in it. Listen, folks. Amen. I think it's time to quit putting quote against quote. I think it's time to quit arguing doctrine against doctrine. I think it's time somebody stand up and say what a prophet said is the truth and release our young people from the bondage of religion, from the torment of humanity, and let them walk in something that's true. Listen, walk, and that's the only reason he wanted to know truth so that we can walk in it. Listen, I love this. Do you know that Enoch is actually a type of the bride? Abraham said that. He said he's a type of the bride. He's a type of the believer. How many knows that Enoch built a pyramid? Now, I'm probably going a little bit slow here, but I want to get something to you. Enoch built a pyramid. Now, I want to say something to you here because I've never been in a service. How many's ever been in a good, hot Holy Ghost meeting? Holy Ghost falling, people are shouting, rejoicing. I have never been in a sermon, Brother Joel, and a guy get happy and say, praise God, Enoch built a pyramid. Never seen it, Brother Doug. I've never seen somebody get happy and say, bless God, Enoch built a pyramid. Hallelujah, Enoch built a pyramid. Ever seen it? But Brother Andy, I have heard him say this, and Enoch walked with God. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Listen, folks, listen, Enoch built a pyramid, and if you ever get time, amen, to dig into the pyramid, the things that are laying in that pyramid have confounded theologians for years. Do you realize when you look at that pyramid, you can start going through sermons of Brother Branham and identifying this symbol and identifying this object. And then let me just let you in a little one, okay? In that pyramid, there's a thing called a bread loaf. In Enoch's pyramid, he put a thing in there, and it's actually called the bread loaf. Well, you say, well, what's that mean? Well, I tell you what it means. It means Matthew chapter 4, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How many knows, Brother Bram said, the bread of life is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So in other words, the Bible said this, Enoch lived 60 and 5 years and he begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. I love verse 24, and Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now we don't say Enoch built a pyramid. We say Enoch walked with God. Now somebody say, well, what are you getting at? Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, come on folks, it's right there. Before his translation, not when he got translated, not when he got on the other side of time, but before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Can I show you something? That brings me back to two schools now. Brother Doug, you know where I'm at. Amen. There's guys that say, we don't need no revelation, just preach the Bible. Just preach holiness. And then there's other guys say, we don't need no holiness, just revelation. Can I show you something? It takes both to produce a believer's walk. Can I show you something? Amen. You might have never went and seen Enoch's pyramid. But when you seen Enoch walking, you seen what was in the pyramid reflected in his walk. Yeah. Hallelujah. What he was feeding on was causing him to walk the way he was walking. Oh, Church of the Living God. There's people that'll never pick up a book. They'll never attend a service here. But by the way you walk, the way you progress, the way you conduct yourself, the way you regulate your life under the authority of the Word of God is a result of the revelation that you're hearing. Listen, he said the church, which is a type of Enoch, amen, 500 years, he walked before God. He said walking in the light with a testimony, everything God said, he did. So Enoch just kept walking, and one day he felt his feet getting off the ground, and he just kept walking, and he walked on into glory without time. He said God took him away because he was walking in the light. Well, the Bible said you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. He said, see, he walked in the light of God and he kept on walking. What are you saying? I'm saying what David said. He said, the word is a lamp unto my feet and it is a light unto my path. In Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Can I let you in a little secret? Here's the secret of a believer's walk. Are you ready for it? Here's the secret of it. The light does the work. Now, I know that probably went over some of your heads and you're thinking, how in the world is the light going to do the work? Well, you remember the prophet of God said, there I was. And he said, there was those visions. And he said, I stood there. And he said, I talked to that man. And he said, now come go home with me and talk tonight. I said, I can. I'd like to. Where you live? He said, well, just go over the mountain here. I said, well, how are you going to get there? You don't see your house, yeah? He said, well, there's a path that runs up over the hill. I said, but you don't see the path. He said, well, I got a message. I mean, I got a lantern. I said, the lantern won't show the light right on the house. Oh no, but that path will lead to the house. He said, but the lantern will only show light for one step at a time. Oh, he says, we'll walk in the light. It's the beautiful light. Amen. One step at a time. Lord, and we're coming closer to him. He said, children of the light, accept his word and keep on walking and watch more unfold. Don't you leave it. No matter what somebody else says, you stay right in that and just keep walking with it and watch it unfold and reveal itself. Listen, folks, every step you take is another revelation that is unfolding from God. One of these days, folks, I'm telling you, you're going to take your final step. One of these days, Enoch, you're going to take your final step. One of these days, you're going to reach that final step. And death is going to have to back up. And in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. You say, preacher, it's a million miles away. It's not a million miles away. It's right here in this building tonight. Come on, folks. The rapture is not just coming. The rapture is here. The rapture is in you. Oh, you say, what are you saying? Walk in the light because the light is the anchor. Amen. Look here. We are to walk like Jesus. Now, his walk was to walk and to fulfill the word. Now, can I show you something? How did he walk? Okay, here's Jesus. And I know you've heard these things. But here's Jesus. And he's walking. And here's the Pharisees and the rabbis and the Sadducees. Illegitimate child. just trying to be something. Who give him the authority to heal on the Sabbath? But watch how he walked. How was he walking? He was walking unconscious of criticism. He was walking unconscious of fear. He was walking unconscious of the world. He said, walk as you walk in Christ. Now, can I just preach to you? If something comes up in the church, stop and sit down and get everybody together and you get on one side and I get, no, he said, if something comes up in the church, walk with God. If sickness strikes you, walk with God. If the neighbor don't like you, walk with God. Enoch walked one day like that. Walk with God. The doctor says you're going to die, walk with God. The doctor says you can't get well, walk with God. Doctor says you're going to live, walk with God. Listen, you'll have your ups and downs. Don't you worry. You'll go through your briar patches. You'll go over your sharp rocks. You'll go over bluffs. You'll go down on the hillside. You'll go up through the mountains. You'll go over the waters, but walk with God. Yes, sir. See? Amen. And as you walk in the light, you're walking in a mystic light. You're walking in a mystic light, which makes you a mystic people. That's why the prophet said Jesus lived in a world that no one knew about. He was an odd person. He lived in a world of perfect faith in the perfect God in which he was. And if we live in a perfect faith of a Christian to what we are, we would be a mystic to the world, see? The people wouldn't understand you. Amen. So walk in the Spirit. What the Spirit said you would do, what it forbids you would not do, then the people begin to say, oh, you're a mystic person then. That's the way it is to all believers. They're a mystic that people don't understand because they live in a world to themselves. Listen, and when a man lives by faith, he says, I mean walks by faith. I mean substance faith. He is isolated from the entire world and becomes a new creature in Christ. Then now you're getting into bride material. Do you see what separates you, amen, from the rest of modern Christians? Christianity is you have the authority by the revelation of the word, amen, to walk with God when you don't feel like walking. You have the authority to walk with God when everything's against you. Well, I might as well just take the brakes off and preach. Listen, some of you all can testify. The only reason you're sitting here tonight is because through hard times, you walk with God. Through good times, you walk with God. Through sad times and joy times, listen, you just walk with God. And I say it to you, now you're coming into perfect faith. You're coming into perfect perfection. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. You act as a child. But as you grow older, then you begin from making your first couple steps and toddling and falling, and you get up and try again. Then after a while, you get so you can walk a straight line. Oh, Brother Doug. And that's what we have to do as soldiers of the cross. He says, now. Somebody shout, now.
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 Now. We'll say it like you believe it. Now.
Now.
Now we are the sons of God.
Yeah.
Now we are in heavenly places. Now we have the revelation. Now we have the Holy Ghost. Now we know who the Son of Man is. Now we know who the son of perdition is. Now we know what the mark of the beast is. Now we know what the seal of God is. He said, now it's time to walk a straight line and walk right down that highway to glory. Woo, glory. Hey, you say, what are you walking on? Brother Doug, I'm walking on the highway and it's just Jesus and me, and there ain't no room for the devil. There ain't no room for complexes. There ain't no room for criticism. Come on, I'm going to close out and preach to you for a minute. I think it's time to put your walking shoes on. I think it's time to tell your wife and tell your babies and tell everybody around you, put on your walking shoes. We are now the sons of God. We now have the revelation. We now have light. It's time to walk in it like we've never walked before. When I'm on the mountain, I'm a son of God. When I'm in the valley, I'm a son of God. When I feel saved, I'm saved. When I don't feel saved, I'm saved, because I'm walking in the Shekinah glory and I'm feeding on the shoe bread. And it's odd. It's odd. But I'm still walking. Now, what are you saying? I'm saying this year, and y'all forgive me, I'm preaching from a burden tonight. Yeah, I know it's simple, but it's on my heart. This year, at the turn of the new year, coming out of 24 into 25, last year was a rough year, folks. I know it was for us. I'm sure it was for y'all. Well, honey, get some jugs and let's take some water home. Whatever's in the water out here. Probably a rough year for some of you. You know how we come down to that New Year's, and I've been here with you before, and y'all have watched night services, right? You come down there, and you're going to close out the old year, and you're going to go in the new year, right? I'm on an airplane flying up from Florida to Georgia to preach a watch night service, and I'm listening to a tape, and I'm just reading over some notes there, and I'm just listening to hear Brother Bram say this. He says, "Here's my New Year's message." How many of you have heard him say something like that? You ever heard him say, "This is my Easter message," or "This is my Christmas message"? He said, "This is my New Year's message." And I just, Brother Malachi, I just turned the tape off, and in my heart, I just said, "Lord," I said, "I'm going tonight to speak to your people." I said, "What would be my New Year's message?" I said, "If I was going to go address them, and I was going to say something to them, what would be my New Year's message?" And as clear as day, the Lord spoke in my heart and said, "Go tell my people, just keep walking." I said, "Lord, hey, you preachers know what I'm talking about." I said, "Lord, they've heard that so many times. That's going to look, they're going to look at that. Say, goodness." Clear as I'm talking to you, spoke to my heart again, said, "Go tell my people, just keep walking." I said, "Okay, Lord, I surrender. I'm sorry." I said, "But Lord, if you're putting it on my heart, there's got to be something in the message about it." And I looked it up, 1955. In this great faith battle, as I've tried to fight it, I've seen some awful obstacles. I've been over some rough roads, and it shows on me. I have. But it's been the most blessed thing. I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. And here's my greatest victories, folks. Here's my greatest pleasures I have, is when I come up against something and I can't see over it, and I can't see around it, and I can't see under it. I just keep walking towards it. I can't see over it. I can't see under it. I can't see around it. I just keep walking towards it, believing this, that God will make a way when I get there. Hallelujah. I don't know how. I don't know when. But I just believe this. God is able, folks. Hallelujah. God is able. I can't see the hole in the wall, but I'm going to keep on walking. I can't see how my family is going to be saved, but I'm going to keep on walking. I don't know how my babies are going to be in the rapture with all the pressures upon them, but I'm just going to keep on walking, believing this, that you'll put them there, Lord, because your word said you would. All this distance I've come, I have trusted him, and he's never failed me. I said, "Okay, Lord. Okay." Ephesians Church Age 1960. He screams out this, "Just keep walking. Don't stand still. You'll never get nowhere." If you've been saved, walk to sanctification. How do I get there? Just keep walking. Is the baptism of the Holy Ghost after sanctification? How do I get that? Just keep walking in the light. Is signs, wonders, and miracles? Just keep walking in the light. Are you ready for this? I know it's simple, but I pray it's a help. Every time you make a step, the light will jump just a little ahead of you. Because he's always ahead of you. He don't push, he leads. Glory! He don't push, he leads. He is the light. Oh, I'm so glad of that, aren't you? He is the light, and in him there's no darkness. Can I say something to you? Amen. God will do the leading if you'll do the walking. If you'll do the walking, he'll do the leading. If you'll just put your walking shoes on. Hallelujah. If you'll just put your walking shoes on and start walking with God. Listen, you won't have to worry about where to turn. The light will always be ahead of you. Can I tell you something, young people? If you never hear this spitting, sweating, crazy preacher again, hear me tonight. The light is already in your future. The light is already ahead of you. I don't know how I'm going to get married. The light is already there. I don't know how I'm going to be a husband. The light is already there. I don't know how I'm going to be a father. The light is already ahead of you. If you'll just put your walking shoes on and start walking in the light, fellowshipping with Him, He's already ahead of you. Hallelujah. Can I give you another one? 1961. He said, just keep walking. Somebody say that with me. Just keep walking. Look at your neighbor. Say, just keep walking. Look at your other neighbor. Say, just keep walking. Look at yourself. Just keep walking. Brother Doug, just keep walking. Sister Jennifer, just keep walking. Love Divine Fellowship, just keep walking. Young people, just keep walking. Married couples that are trying to have babies, just keep walking. Families that's on the rocks, just keep walking. Financial pressures, just keep walking. Sickness in your body, just keep walking. Just keep walking until after a while, I love this, after a while, you'll get so light. Now come on, folks. I don't think he's saying necessarily weight-wise. Can I say what he said? He said, just keep walking, and after a while, you'll get so light, you'll just walk on up in the rapture. You know what Paul said in Ephesians 5:8? He said, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now. But now. But now are ye light in the Lord. Come on, folks. You've done laid aside every weight. You've done laid aside every sin. You've done laid aside everything. And now you're walking in the message. And you're becoming the message. And the message is the light. You're becoming the light. You're becoming so light in the Lord that one of these days you're going to step. Hallelujah. You're going to step right out of time into eternity. One of these mornings, old bars of bone and clay houses are going to have to give way to that gene seed on the inside of you. Listen, just keep walking. Just keep walking. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Y'all are here in my study time tonight. I said, Lord, we're walking. But there's got to be some power in walking. If we're going to do all this walking, there's got to be a reason, Brother Andy, that we just got to keep on walking. He said, no matter how it looks, just keep on anyhow. If God said do it, just keep on anyhow. That's the way you do it. Are you ready for this? Are you ready? That's the way you get well, see? Just keep walking. No, I didn't read that right, did I, Brother Joel? Did I read that right? That's the way you get well. That's the way you get well is just keep on walking. Well, I couldn't wiggle my finger but that much today. I can wiggle it that much. Praise God. Tomorrow, I'll wiggle it that much. And the next day, that much. And then the first thing, just keep on walking. That's all. Just keep on walking. Look what that fine doctor said a while ago. He comes to the end of his role. Then he trusts God. There you are. That's it. Science is all right as long as you're climbing on the tree. And when you get as far up, you can't go no further. Are you ready for this? Then step over on the tree of faith and just keep on walking because it has no end to it. Well, somebody shout aloud. Hey, you walk on the tree of knowledge. You can only go so far, folks. But when you run out and you can't figure out another solution, you can't figure out another one to turn to. Can I preach? You can't find another church. You've exhausted every pastor and everybody's the problem. Can I say this to you? It's time to step over on the tree of life and quit walking under your own understanding. Quit walking under your own reasoning. Quit walking under the way I think it ought to be and say, Lord, for the first time, I'm going to walk like Enoch. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to surrender. And as you follow, I'm going to walk. As you lead, I'm going to walk. Now, folks, I searched in the message and I heard Brother Bram say this, keep on walking. And you know where I found that phrase over and over and over? Was in prayer lines. They would come up and he would say, you got this condition, God makes you well. Hey, keep on walking. Amen. Heard him say this. He said, you got cancer. He said, the Lord just healed you. Keep on walking. Amen. He said, you got a stomach trouble. He said, the Lord healed you. Keep on walking. Amen. He said, that nervousness, it just left you. Amen. Keep on walking. Amen. I said, Lord, what's happening? What am I hearing? I failed this. What was happening?
Glory to God.
What was happening as they were walking, Brother Luke, they were walking from one condition into another. And all they did was they just kept. Well, I could play the drums right now. All they did was they just kept walking. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? They didn't sit down and reason the sign. They believed it and they heard the voice and they just kept walking. And while they were walking, they changed conditions. Can I tell you something? If you'll just keep walking with God, in the moment, in the twinkle of an eye, things can change. If you'll just keep on walking, you may not feel it, you may not sense it, you may not think it, but if you just keep on walking, you can change conditions. Hallelujah. You can change from a sick condition to a well condition. You say, Brother Andrew, I'm in a trial. Just keep walking. Brother Andrew, I'm weary. Just keep walking. Brother Andrew, I've exhausted all the resources. Just keep walking. Brother Andrew, I don't know where else to go. Just keep walking. Brother Andrew, I've done everything I can think of. I'm so weary. I just want to sit down. I tell you tonight, in the name of the Lord, get up and put your walking shoes on and just keep walking. Brother Andrew, it's the darkest trial I've ever seen. But as you're walking, you start changing conditions. Let me prove it to you. The Bible says there were three Hebrew boys who stood before the king and he said, if you don't bow down, we'll throw you in the fiery furnace and will heat it up 7 times hotter than it's ever been. You know what the Bible said, Brother Eli? The Bible said, he said, Brother Herb, remember the day, he said like this, he read that, he said, now notice, he said they walked to the fiery furnace. Come on, folks. Nobody pushed them to the fiery furnace. They walked to it. Can I tell you something? The light led them to it. The light was already ahead of them. They were following the light. And the light led them to the door of the fiery furnace. Can I show you something, Brother JJ? They didn't get pushed off in it. The prophet of God said they walked down into the fiery furnace. So they walked to the fiery furnace. They walked into it. Can I show you something? When they got in there, they didn't sit down and say, listen, it's pretty sad, ain't it? It's pretty bad. We're down here in this fiery furnace. And I tell you, it's just awful. Have you seen Sister So-and-so? And have you heard Brother So-and-so? You heard the latest, and it's just poor pity. No, they didn't sit down. Brother Bram said they got in the fiery furnace, and they were bound hand and foot, but they walked around. Come on, folks. They walked around in the fiery furnace. They walked to it, they walked into it, and they walked around in it. But you know what else I found? I found when they got in there, the fourth man showed up. Brother Doug, when they got in the fiery furnace, that was when the fourth man, before they got in there, the fourth man was already one step ahead of them. The fourth man was already, Brother Jude, he was already one step ahead of them, and they walked around in there. Come on, folks. How did they walk around there? They were bound hand and foot, but somehow, in the heat of the greatest trial of their life, they found the strength to get up on their feet and to walk around and testify to their enemy, we will not bow, we will not bend. There is a God who is greater than this fiery furnace. They walked around in it, but then all of a sudden, all of a sudden, they walking around and the feet got loose. And all of a sudden their hands got loose. And all of a sudden they saw the light. They saw one who was like the Son of God. Can I show you something? They walked in. They walked to the fiery furnace. They walked into the fiery furnace. They walked around in the fiery furnace and they walked out of it. Glory to God. They walked to it. They walked into it. They walked around in it. But when the fourth man showed up, he released him and they walked out of it. Listen, folks, one of these mornings, if you'll just keep on walking, you're going to walk right out of Laodicea. Will you hear me tonight? Things are going to change. Things are changing right now. And then I'm not a crazy man, sis. Things are changing right now. You're putting your walking shoes on. You sat here too long. You've cried your last tear. You've bellyached your last day. Get up and put your walking shoes on. It's time to walk out of this trial. It's time to walk out of the situation. It's time to walk out of it. Stand on your feet. It's time to walk out of it. You've sat in it long enough. It's time to put your walking shoes on. It's time, as the musicians are coming, it's time to walk out of it. Things are changing. Things are changing. I'm not a crazy man. Things are changing. I'm not lost my mind. Things are changing. Things are changing. Hey. Hallelujah. I don't want to get too open here, but Malachi, I remember praying here at this altar with you. You kept on walking and things are changing. Come on, I'm not a crazy man. Things are changing. Where's Daniel? Daniel, we've been walking since we were teenagers and we kept on walking and things are changing. Brother Doug, we walked through some hard trials together, buddy, but we kept on walking and we walked out of the conditions because we're following the light. Hallelujah. Love divine, I tell you, you've been through some hard days, but keep on walking. Things are changing. JJ, remember when it looked like nothing could change, but you kept on walking? Remember when it looked like nothing would change, but you kept on walking? Remember when it looked like it was your end, but you kept on walking? And now you're standing on the other side of the Red Sea. You're on the other side of the fiery furnace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You kept on walking, didn't you, buddy? You didn't lay down, you kept on walking. Why? Because as you walk in the light, you become the light. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Just keep on walking. Where's Chris, Sister T? Keep on walking. Brother Joseph, keep on walking. I don't know how, I don't know when, but everything God promised, He will fulfill. You just gotta keep on walking. I'm not a crazy man, Joe. I remember when God got a hold of you. I remember when God saved you. And look at you today with a wife and babies. You didn't get there because you figured it all out. You kept on walking. You kept on walking. And as you kept on walking, you started changing conditions. Folks, I'm done. Keep on walking. I rebuke that devil in the name of Jesus. He's held you as long as I'm going to allow him to hold you. You say, preacher, you ain't got no authority to say that. I do as a son of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I take every spirit in this building under my control for the glory of God. I bind every complacent devil. I bind every depression devil. I bind that devil of anxiety. I bind that devil of nervousness. I bind that devil of the future, of the fear of the future. I bind that devil in the name of Jesus Christ, who the Son has made free, is free indeed. Put on your walking shoes. It's time to walk. Hallelujah. Almighty God, in the name of Jesus, we surrender. We surrender our understandings, Lord. We surrender our reasonings to you. We surrender all of our figuring out problems. Now, Now we are the sons of God. Now. Now. Now we have the truth. Now the light has shined. Satan, you lost the battle. You've held him as long as you're going to hold him. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Walk. Walk. In the name of Jesus. Satan, the word is against you. The blood is over this people. And by the authority of Mark 16, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Those of you that sit down somewhere and quit walking spiritually, somebody hurt your feelings, somebody disappointed you, somebody let you down, and you quit walking, I challenge you tonight by the word of the Lord. I challenge you to get up off of that ash heap. I challenge you to get up out of that pity party. In the name of Jesus, I challenge you tonight by the word of God. Get up and put your walking shoes on. You're a Joshua generation. And the Bible says everywhere you put the sole of your foot, God has given that to you as an inheritance. Footsteps means possession, folks. If you can put your foot on it, you can have it. If you can walk on it, you can have it. It's time. It's time to walk. In the name of Jesus, put on your walking shoes. It's time to walk. Mama, it's time to walk again. Daddy, it's time to walk again. Get up in Jesus' name. It's time to walk. It's time to walk. Almighty God, have your way with these believers tonight. Father, maybe some of them, they're still sitting there and they can't get their shoes on. Come by their way tonight, Lord. Shake them, Father. Shake them, Lord. Shake them, oh God. Shake them from the complacency, Lord. Shake them, Father. Let them see they're not walking in darkness. They're not walking in error. They're walking in light. Grant it, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just keep walking. Things are changing. Situations are changing. Brother Andrew, he said, she said, walk unconscious of criticism. Walk with God. If you keep walking, you're going to walk right into the manifestation. Press on. Got the food to do it.
Lord, with the bride,
clearly,
clear,
clear, clear before our eyes.
Jesus.
walk on.
We
walk on